Amen. Right, so 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look just for a second at one verse, 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, which is also on the front of your bulletins, which reads, "Finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And the title of my sermon today is The Courteous Christian, The Courteous Christian. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this great chapter. I thank you for the great lessons we can get out of this chapter. Please help me to just preach those accurately now. Help me to just preach boldly and clearly, and help people to just be able to pay attention and to not be distracted. And just help me to preach your word with the Holy Spirit inside me, Lord. And in Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen. Okay, so what does it mean to be courteous? Well, Webster's 1828 dictionary says of courteous, number one definition is polite, well-bred, being of elegant manners, civil, obliging, condescending, applied to persons. And number two is polite, civil, graceful, elegant, complacent, applied to manners, etc. Dictionary.com says having or showing good manners, polite. What are some antonyms? So the opposites: impolite, rude, disrespectful, inconsiderate. So basically, to be courteous is a politeness that comes with, for me, a respect and consideration of others. So it's not, well, like, you know, I dot the I's and cross the T's when I talk. There's also a respect and consideration of others when you do it. In 1 Peter 3:8, it goes along with compassion, love, and pity. Be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And before I continue, I just want to make it clear that this isn't a sermon about pastors in other churches deciding whether or not words they consider to be rude or not. So in case anyone tunes into this who is wondering, is this some attack? No, I'm not interested in what goes on there. And you know, they can have their own views on that. And I'm, you know, for us, it doesn't affect us one little bit at all. And that's not what this sermon's about. This sermon is basically a practical sermon to help everyone here think about how we talk, how we act towards each other ultimately, but to others as well. Okay, so why? Because God said through Peter to be courteous. Okay, he said to be courteous. He didn't say be courteous if it's not too awkward for you, did he? He didn't say be courteous if you like the person enough. He didn't say be courteous if you were raised that way, did he? He just said be courteous. Because it's not just something for posh people, okay? Being courteous isn't just something for those that are, you know, raised with a silver spoon in their mouth. Well, in fact, Proverbs 18:23, you don't have to turn there, says the poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. And any of you that have gone door knocking and on in richer areas will probably have noticed that a lot of the time the rich answer pretty roughly, don't they? Yeah. Okay, so this isn't about a wealth thing. This isn't about a class thing. This is about being a courteous Christian. Okay, just to get that straight from the beginning. He just said, be courteous. And specifically here, he's talking about how believers behave towards other believers. That's the context of the chapter here. But it also applies how we behave to the unbelievers too. And we're going to see that in a minute as well. And without trying to sound like a broken record, because I often start sermons talking about how different things are in the world today and since I was young and everything else. And I'm not really that old, but, you know, sometimes I feel like I am with how much has changed. But this is, again, one of the many qualities that I've seen change a lot over the last, you know, couple of decades, few decades odd. And just manners in general, being courteous to people, I've noticed a big change of that. I don't know if anyone else here has noticed much of a change of that as they've grown up. Yeah, we've got quite a few. I mean, look, I remember when I was young, pleases and thank yous were massive. Okay, that was a big deal. You would be likely to get at least a real talking to, if not a thrashing, for not saying your pleases and thank yous when I grew up. And look, you might think, well, they're just words, because, you know, does the Bible say you got to say please and thank you? Well, no, it does say to be courteous, and in our culture, our polite form of English involves pleases and thank yous, doesn't it? In English culture, this is a church in England, we like pleases and thank yous here. Okay, that's how things go in this culture. And in other countries, there's other polite forms of how you speak. It might not be a direct translation of pleases and thank yous, but there are ways that you speak which are to show manners and politeness. Because really, it's a respect, it's caring how that person feels that you're treating them, right? Okay, and when you use good manners like pleases, thank yous, excuse me's, etc., you're showing that you care about how you come across that person. You care about the response you're getting from them, the reaction you're getting. So that's one thing, but it's not just about words, is it? And we've seen it, you know, it's such a big difference what I see now. The difference is people opening doors. Does that even happen anymore? The service industry. How bad is the service industry now? I mean, that used to be, you know, you were at least going to get some manners when you went into a restaurant. You were at least going to get some manners when you went just into a shop, into a store, when someone was trying to sell you or do a service for money. And now it seems that doesn't even matter anymore, because we've got so many big companies and big firms where really people are just going where the money, where things are cheaper. And you can go in a store, you can go into a big B&Q, get talked to like you're some sort of bit of filth on the bottom of someone's, well, it's over there somewhere. But you'll still go back there next week, won't you? Because it's cheaper, because it's brand recognition, because you know it. And things have changed so much with that, haven't they? Because before, that would be no way. You'd be ringing up, you'd be complaining, you'd be saying, I'm not coming back to this store. And they would actually care, but they don't care anymore, do they? And things have changed a lot. Things have changed a lot in the world. But it's not just the service industry. Disrespect for elders. How about for elders? That used to be a big thing, didn't it, in this country? Respect for your elders. And nowadays, elders are packed up into a care home before they even know what's going on, before they're even elderly. But before that, people used to have a respect for elders, didn't they? And people used to actually stand up with when an elder came into a room. I remember being taught that at school. When a teacher came into the room, you stood up on your feet, and you stood basically to attention. I doubt you get that in schools much anymore. I don't know if they still do that, but you don't see that much out in society, do you? Respect for elders, kids to adults, respect for children to adults. And again, do you see that much? I don't see that much anymore, and I'm not picking on people at the church here, just in general in life, where I see that people actually trying to just be polite for the fact that someone's an adult, that they're older, that they're wiser, that they've been here longer. And look, there's an important thing about that, and we're going to see that in the Word of God as well. Disrespect for authority. We see that a lot, don't we? Yeah, disrespect for authority everywhere. And look, I can understand it can be frustrating sometimes being under some of the authorities we have in this nation, in this country, but we are taught to respect authorities. We're taught to obey principalities and powers. We're told to obey those things, aren't we? Yeah, we're told to obey magistrates in this country. We're told in Romans 13 clearly to do that. But nowadays, it's not even just the obeying, the full-on disrespect for anyone in authority. People just seem to be so unable to just deal with the fact there's authority in their life and in many areas. Towards women, the disrespect towards women now. Yeah, but again, before, that was a big deal. I remember once hearing someone being somewhere late at night many years ago, and someone I knew was swearing in front of a lady, and the guy started, you know, got into an argument. Don't you talk like that in front of this. Does anyone even care anymore about that? I don't think really many people would say that anymore. Don't you swear in front of this lady. That was a part of our society. Nowadays, the ladies are more likely to probably be swearing and using filthy language. And how bad has it got? And again, look, it's easy to do this, isn't it? It's easy to stand here and go, look at the state of the world. But this is something I have noticed a lot. I have noticed a big difference. Also towards men as well. We talked about this when we talked about putting dads on their pedestals. How much has that changed? Before, a man used to be a figure of respect. You'd knock on someone's door and the man opened the door, excuse me, sir, there'd be a sign of respect. Nowadays, they're like the butt of all jokes, aren't they? And again, that goes along with what is a wicked feminist agenda in this nation around the world. But look, God said be courteous. And we're going to look at three main areas of life to be courteous in, to be what we want to be, which is a courteous Christian. Because God said to be courteous. And number one on that is to be courteous in your family life. Be courteous in your family life. Look down at 1 Peter 3. We're going to look from the beginning there, where he starts by addressing husbands and wives at home in this chapter. He says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, likewise is referring to the previous chapter where he said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. He's talking about being a good employee, being in subjection to your boss. In 1 Peter 3, he says likewise. And it's rather ironic, isn't it? That the fact that he's actually linking that to the previous comment about being in subjection to a boss, because how many women in this world are absolutely happy to be in subjection to a boss at work? No problem with being subject to a boss, whether he be froward or not, being whether he be a bad boss or you know, basically, you know, an unlikable boss. Oh, doesn't matter whether it's a he or a she, whether it's a married man, whether it's whatever. Oh, no problem with that. But being in subjection to their husbands, even though the word of God says it time and time and time again, that apparently seems to be a problem for many, many women in this world, which is ironic considering he's saying, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Own husbands, notice that as well, not other people's husbands, okay? You know, people's wives aren't there to be in subjection to yourselves, okay? But they should be in subjection to their own husbands. That's what the word of God says. This is even those to the husbands that haven't obeyed the gospel. He said that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And that's the behavior of the wives, because look, your behavior can change that. We talked about being a shining light, didn't we? Yeah, you're married to someone that's unsaved. Your behavior, look, one of the big things you need to be doing is living right. Living holy, living chaste, whether you're a lady or a man. And look, they might look at that and see that difference and see the change in you, see that difference in you and take notice, watching your holy behavior along with a fear of the Lord. And that could be your fear or their fear. I suppose it doesn't really matter, does it? Coupled with fear. And that's not coupled with fear of your wife. That shouldn't be coupled with fear of your wife, yeah? And unfortunately, it seems that you see that more nowadays, don't you? Men who are scared of their wives, men who are hiding behind their wife's skirts, scared of whatever they say to them, scared of it. That's not what the Bible says it should be like, should it? Yeah, they should be in subjection to their own husbands. Okay, who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It does matter what's in the sight of God, doesn't it? Yeah, we should care how God looks at us, shouldn't we? We should care how we appear in the sight of God. And not in the sight of our you know, for the ladies here, your feminist friends down at the gym in their active wear. Not how you appear with your feminist work friends who are saying, you don't have to listen to that man, girl, you know, and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, that shouldn't really matter, should it? Because what does God say? God says a meek and quiet spirit is of great price.
Amen.
And if you don't have that, you should be working on that. Because we care about what God says, don't we? And if only women spent more time on their heart, on their meek and quiet spirit, than their hair, jewellery and clothing. Because a lot of women spend a lot of time on their hair, jewellery and clothing, and, well, I don't have to be like, well, he doesn't tick the boxes how he should. He doesn't do his side of it. Well, the Bible says clearly that who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and a wearing of gold and a putting on of apparel. And by the way, like I said before, that's not saying women can't have plaits in their hair. I've heard this nonsense before. Women can't wear any jewellery. No, it's saying that shouldn't be what they're known as. That shouldn't be what's beautifying them, adorning them. Okay? The adorning, the thing that they should be known by is their meek and quiet spirit. Okay? Because that's which is in the sight of God of great price. And who cares what this wicked world says? Because since when did the world get things right? I mean, how's that going for them? How's the feminist movement going in the world right now? Going well, is it? I see in this country over 200,000 babies murdered in the womb last year. Oh, that's going well, isn't it? I see record divorce rates. I see just pure wickedness ever. I see kids being raised from long before school to long after school by the government, basically. By some form of government, you know, whether it's childcare, Ofsted regulated schools, you name it, and I see just wickedness everywhere I turn. So for me, it's not really going too well. I say, well, if only this nation did what God said, maybe things would be better. In fact, we know things would be better. Now, he said, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Is he talking about just random old-fashioned women here? You know, those stupid old-fashioned, because they were so stupid, weren't they, back in the past? Oh, yeah, they didn't have the intelligence we have now, do they? Yeah, the intelligence to think that we all came from apes. The intelligence to think that everything came out of some explosion and that for the first time ever there was order out of chaos. No, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about holy women of old time. who trusted in God. These sound like the sort of women that you want to be looking after, right? Okay, that you want to be following after. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also trusting God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Can you believe that? Called him Lord. I want a show of hands here for how many women are bristling at the thought of calling their husbands Lord. Don't worry, you don't have to raise your hands, because I know you all are, every single one of you. But she called him Lord. And you know what? She didn't actually, in the Bible, call him Lord with her mouth. Ah, he must have just been making it up. Maybe he got it wrong. No, she said it in her heart in the Bible. Go back to Genesis chapter 18. The one place we see an example of this in the Bible, Genesis chapter 18 and from verse 10, the Lord is speaking to an elderly Abraham here, who also has an elderly wife, Sarah. And he said, Genesis 18 and verse 10, Genesis 18, 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Sarah is saying this within herself, hence her then denying it afterwards. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? But the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Okay, the point here is not that Sarah is trying to get out of it now. The point is that she called him Lord in her heart, and I'm sure she was verbally calling him Lord as well. Oh, what sort of a walk, what sort of a pushover was she? What sort of a doormat was Sarah? And by the way, if you're going, or maybe you're sitting there going, yeah, but Abraham was a very holy man. This is Abraham who was pretending to people that she was his sister, just in case he got a bit of grief and he'd have to fight for his wife. Yeah, this is Abraham that was lying about her being his sister and letting her basically go off, you know, and having the men of whatever town, land it was, trying to fight over her to save his own skin, okay? But she still called him Lord, because that's what the Word of God teaches. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. But here's the point. Mums, you want your kids to show you and your husband respect, don't you? Yeah, I'm sure you mums want to be shown respect by your kids. How do you talk about your husband? How do you treat your husband, whether it's in front of your kids or not? Because a lot of the time when you think it's not in front of your kids just always happen to be there. Yeah, your kids come out of it. They come out of every nook and cranny in the house sometimes. Yeah, yeah. Where on earth did they come from? Yeah. In fact, we were talking about Grace's birthday presents yesterday. Suddenly, Grace? Oh, Grace just happened to be right on the other side of the door. But anyway, point being, kids just kind of, they just turn up, don't they? They turn up. So, because it's not really about how you appear, that shouldn't be on your heart. What it should be is following the Word of God. Yeah. Following the Word of God and giving respect unto your husbands. You give respect unto your husbands, and your kids are going to learn to respect you and your husband. And that's what you want, don't you? Because, look, you show me kids that have no respect for their dads, and I'll show you kids that are going to go wayward. Yeah, they're going to go off the rails. They're going to have all sorts of problems. You want kids to obey the rules. How about you obey the rules? Yeah? Yeah, how about that? How about you obey the clear rules of the Word of God? Because I tell you what, if your kids are coming here and listening to the preaching, and if your kids are reading the Bible, then they know what the Word of God says. And they know if mum isn't obeying the rules. And then you're going, and you obey the rules, well, you're not obeying the rules. Yeah, because these are the rules, aren't they? Yeah, it's the rules of God, and they're the most important rules. So we want to obey the rules. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is of great price. But it's not just about the mums at home, is it? Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Honour is esteem, high estimation, dignity, respect. Husbands, get to know what makes your wife tick, yeah? And give her honour, okay? Dwell with them according to knowledge. Okay, and you can avoid some of those very disrespectful moments that come from both sides if you learn to dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Yeah? If you learn what's going to make her likely lose her rag a bit and end up, you know, kind of maybe not respecting you so much. And vice versa. If you know those sorts of things which are then going to get her to say something that's going to make you stop giving her honour, then you need to dwell with them according to that knowledge and avoid those things, don't you? You need to give honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered, it says here. You're a team. Yeah, you're a team, aren't you? You want the grace of life. You want the grace of life together. You want your prayers to be effective. You need to get the best out of your wife, don't you? You need to get the best out of your wife. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Not talk down to her because you're the boss. Because that's not what the Bible says, does it? Yeah. Oh, well, you know, she should submit, so I'm going to talk to her like dirt. And prove that she won't submit, or prove that she does submit to other people. But that's not what the Bible says to do. So you're well out of God's will straight away there. Because the way it all works great is when everyone does their side of the bargain. Yeah. That's the way it all works great. You husbands, love your wives. Yeah, the Bible says it time and time again, doesn't it? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be subject unto your own husbands. Yeah, submit unto your own husbands. Yeah, if both sides did those bits, and obviously all the rest that goes with it, wives should love their husbands. Husbands should give honor and respect to their wives. When it all goes together, you can have a great marriage, and that will be any worldly marriage you'll ever see out there. Any worldly marriage where the man's kind of hiding behind the wife, you know, scared to say anything, and you know, she's telling him off, be quiet, you know, this, you see this everywhere, don't you? See that with, I saw that with a family member the other day, and these are young people, and the guy's just getting told off, just getting told what's this. It's absolutely terrible, isn't it? And it's embarrassing to see that. And men, yeah, men need to man up though, don't they? Because look, you want your wives to submit to you, you need to make sure that you can actually command some respect. You need to make sure that you're behaving as you should do, and make sure that then your wives will submit. But here's the point about all of this. I'm not just getting on the men and the women here. We're talking about being courteous, yeah? Polite with respect and consideration. How do our kids learn? How do our kids learn most? Okay, here's a question. Your children, yeah, your children. Did you teach them every single part of their vocabulary? Did you? Did you teach your kids every single word they know? No. How do they learn every single word that they know? By watching and listening to you. Yeah? The majority of what we learn is by watching and listening to what's being said to us, what we see about us, and ultimately it's from their parents, isn't it? That's why your kids say things usually a lot of the time the same way you say things. Yeah. That's why your kids have the same sort of, a lot of the time they'll act, they'll walk the same sort of way, they'll talk the same sort of way, they'll make similar sorts of jokes. Sometimes they don't get them quite as good, they've still got to work on the timing of it. Sometimes they're doing much better. But you know what? Kids learn from what they watch, they learn from what they're around, don't they? And that's how they're going to learn. You could tell them all day long, be courteous, be respectful, be polite. But if you're disrespecting your wife, dads, then how do you expect your kids to get that right? Wives, if you're disrespecting your husbands, how do you expect your kids to get that right? Yeah, because that's how they learn. And that's where the training ground is, isn't it, at home? Yeah, that's where the training ground is. Are you considerate of your wife? You want your kids to be considerate of others. Are you considerate of your wife? Yeah, do you actually care about what she does day to day? Do you care about if she's happy, if she's content, or is she just, you know, she's just a helpmeet? She's just, you know, well, you know, she better just shut up and put up, yeah? Because how do we expect our kids to be considerate if that's how we are, yeah? And same the other way around. So, look, we can tell our kids what to do all day long, can't we? But they're going to learn from what we do. That's what they're going to learn most from. Now, turn to Proverbs 22. We still definitely need to be teaching our kids to be courteous. Okay, and that's a parent's job. It's not the school's job if you send your kids to school. It's not the martial arts instructor's job. It's not the sports guy's job. It's not whoever it is you're sending him to. Oh, well, I want him to look, it's your job. You're the parent, yeah? It's you're entrusted with that child. Proverbs 22 verse 6, famous verse, says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You want them to be courteous adults, don't you? Then teach them from young. Yeah. You have to teach them from young to be courteous. And there are many ways you can do that. The rod of correction is quite a good one, but there's many other ways as well. And you need to keep reminding your kids, you need to keep training them, you need to keep getting it right. And some kids might take longer with that than other kids. Some kids might be a bit more stubborn with seeing things. Maybe some kids will be a bit more forgetful with that. But I tell you what, how you get it right is you make sure you're courteous at home. Courteous to each other ultimately is the main thing, and courteous just in general. If you're out and you're being courteous, your kids are going to learn to be courteous. Okay, and if you come in and you've got all the please and thank yous and your kids have none of that at all, for me, that says something else is going on when you're outside of church, yeah? Okay, courteous. The title is The Courteous Christian. Number one, be courteous in your family life. Number two, Be courteous in your church life. Be courteous in your church life. He said in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Sorry, we are back in 1 Peter 3 there. Okay, polite with respect and consideration towards each other. A church should be of one mind, shouldn't it? Okay, as we said, be ye of one mind. That's the same goal, the same mindset, being behind the church, behind the leadership. Yeah, we should be of one mind in this church. But it's also about not elevating the rich above others as well. Okay, we see that term used as well. You don't have to turn there, Romans 12:16. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. So there's then a unity. If you're not uplifting other people above others, you know, for whatever reason, a lot of the time for wealth and things like that, then you get this unity that should then result in a compassion one of another, a brotherly love, it says here, a pity and courteousness. Now, how does that look like in a church like ours then? How does that look in a church like ours? Okay, and these are just some practical things. So, okay, before I go on with this, yeah, I would say everyone in this church is going to fail on some things on this list, okay? If you do, I don't hate you, okay? If you do, I'm not standing here going, I really need this person. I hate the way they're not courteous in this way or other. But I want to help you, okay? Because if you're doing it at church, you're likely to be doing it in the rest of your life as well anyway. And the Bible says be courteous. These are things that I was thinking of, which are just, for me, clear, obvious ways of being courteous, practical ways of things that some people might have to work on more than others. Okay, some people, for whatever reason, are going to find some of this difficult. Okay, number one thing that I thought about was just greeting people when you come into the church, okay? But the point is when you come into the church. So if you come into church, myself or other people shouldn't be having to go and find you when you're sitting and come and greet you. That's a bit weird, don't you think? And that does happen. And again, it's not that, like I said, I don't hate you if this is you on this list, yeah? Okay, but think about this, yeah? Because, look, and again, I'm not saying it's the same, but say I invited you over my house for a barbecue, and say I spent hours marinating that meat, yeah? You probably get the analogy here, yeah? I've spent hours preparing that meat, preparing that food, preparing that here, spiritual food, spiritual drink for you, yeah? Would you just come into my house? Oh, okay, well, I didn't have to answer the door because I said, come around the back when you're there. Just walk in, sit down, eat some food, get up and leave. Would you do that? You wouldn't, would you? But do you know the amount of people that come into this church? And I could, if I didn't come up and speak to them, they wouldn't even say a word to me. And it's not just me. They do something like that. What about Brother John Cornell? Do you know, Sister Vanessa, do you know how long they spend preparing music for this? Do you know how long the ushers spend doing their job? Do you know how even the money counters are spent? Like, it's weird. Yeah, it's just really odd. It's just uncourteous, basically. It's impolite. That's weird, yeah? Okay, if you come into church, you should be coming up and saying hello to especially the people that are putting all the... But you should be doing it to everyone. Okay, you should just be greeting. Look, you don't have to spend and have a 15-minute conversation with someone. Okay, but just hi, how are you is fine, isn't it? That's being courteous, isn't it? Okay, definitely we should be doing that. And we should be teaching our kids to do that as well. Because if our kids don't see us do it, they're not going to do it either. They're going to grow up to be pretty impolite as well and to not be courteous. So we should be teaching them and showing them. And that can be uncomfortable for kids sometimes, can't it? Some kids are shy, so it's something you have to work at. And some kids, look, I understand, some are more shy than others. Some people are just very outgoing. You have a kid who just happily just walk in. Hey, everyone. Hey, brother this, brother that. And they're like 3 years old. You have another kid who's maybe like 7 years old and they don't even want to look at anyone, yeah? But it's something that we need to train because it's important in life, isn't it? And it's important in a church. It's important if you're going to fellowship and if you're not going to basically, because I don't know, you come into a church, I don't know that maybe you're the shyest person in the world. And for me, I'm just thinking, wow, they've literally just come in, not said a word, and sometimes even left without saying a word as well. Okay, that's weird. Okay, and like I said, same when you leave. Okay, same when you leave. Like that, again, if you came around my house for a barbecue, you came around whoever's house, there was a few of us doing all this work and everything else. My wife, one of my friends is there doing stuff for you guys as well. You wouldn't seriously just at the end of it go, yeah, that's the time, off. Straight out the side gate, not say a word. That's weird, isn't it? Yeah, but people do that in churches, don't they? Okay, and look, I've been to some bad churches. I've been with some bad preaching. I've been to churches where I'm thinking, is this person even saved? And you know what I still did before I left? Is I still shook their hand and said, thank you. Yeah, thank you for the time and effort that you've put into this church service, yeah? And unless I knew 100% they were unsaved, okay? Then they were getting it before I left, all right? Okay, please and thank yous. Simple stuff. And look, because, you know, we have people from different backgrounds, nationalities, etc. here. Just a heads up, in England, look, we like please and thank yous. Excuse me's, yeah? Excuse me's when you try and knock past people, things like that. Kids, you shouldn't just be shoving past, running through doors. You should be waiting for someone to go through the door. You should be holding doors for people, okay? That's being courteous. That's being respectful to each other. Okay, that's stuff we should be doing. Shaking hands, okay? And again, we want to teach our kids to do that as well. We want to teach our kids to shake hands, yeah? Not anything else, not fist bumps, okay? The only time I fist bump someone is before I put on a pair of boxing gloves and then try and punch them in the face, okay? Don't confuse people with that, okay? You might just get punched in the face. Okay, not high fives, okay? Shake hands or don't, okay? That's what we do as men in a church especially. And some women might not want to. And you kind of get the idea when they don't because their hands are behind here. So, well, that's cool. Some women do what some people want to be greeted and feel like, well, why are you shaking the husband's hand and completely, you know, not and just like, hi, you know. And so, look, you make it clear by that, that's cool. Yeah, I don't really have a hard and fast rule in my mind on that. But I'll shake people's hands. I want to shake people's hands. Okay, when we shake people's hands, though, do you think it's polite if I shake someone's hand to maybe shake their hand like this? Some people do that. Again, I'm not picking on anyone here. I don't think anyone does that. But just a heads up, kids as well. Don't, if someone says, shake your hand, you're just like this, yeah? With a limp. Don't you just hate the limp hand as well? Like this, yeah? I remember I had a friend whose dad used to, and it was like he was giving you the hand almost like to kiss it. He'd just go like this. And he was very wealthy and thought he was really up there, this guy, yeah? Okay, but we should be looking in someone's eye and shaking a hand. But here's another thing. We're not trying to be a bone crusher either, because that's not very nice, is it? So when you shake someone's hand, don't try and rip their hand off, yeah? Because it's a bit odd, yeah? Because it said it's starting to become like fighting talk, isn't it? I was like, this in your eye, hello, pleased to meet you, you know? That's weird, yeah? Okay, we don't have to do that. We should just, look, a firm, normal handshake, okay? Not trying to show off or anything else. That's a bit strange. Okay. That's being polite. That's being, you know, that's being courteous to someone, okay? Being courteous isn't trying to break their fingers. Okay, wash your hands, though. Remember, if you're walking around a church shaking hands, yeah, could you make sure that you have clean hands? It's a bit weird when you shake someone's hands and you can smell something on it. Kids as well. Look, if we're teaching our kids to shake hands, we want to make sure that our kids are washing their hands when they go to the toilet, yeah? And men and women, we should all be washing our hands when we go to the toilet if you're going to walk around a church shaking hands. Okay, make sure you wash it. And sometimes it's a bit weird because then you're in a rush. You're like, I'm going to have a wet hand now. And I know they're going to wonder what that is. But you can make it clear that it's water. It's much better to have water than to wonder what's on that hand, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so we should make sure that. And look, here's another one. If your kid's walking around like this, you know, like this, like this all the whole time, like this, yeah. And then you're like, oh, hello, little, you know. Yeah. Look. We want to be teaching. Look, that's something we have to teach our kids regularly on, you know, and we catch them out sometimes, no nose picking, yeah? Okay? And we want to encourage that, don't we? Go to the toilet, get a tissue, because otherwise people don't want to shake your hands, do they? Okay, how about responding to conversation as well, okay? Something we have to teach kids, but some adults have a problem with that, yeah? So when someone talks to you, you want to just not ignore them, not just look the other way, not just go and walk off or something else. Talk to them, yeah? It doesn't have to be a long conversation. You don't have to tell them all the gory details of your week, but just, you know, we're trying to train to just for people not to feel completely just unliked and everything else. Yeah, we want to just show some amount of consideration to each other. Kids need to be taught that as well, don't they, to respond. You say hi to someone's child, hi, how you doing? They just walk straight past you like this, yeah? That's rude, isn't it? And look, young kids are going to do that. It's something that we as parents, we want to train them not to do, don't we? Okay, how about greed? Okay, greed is not being polite, is it? Okay, so for example, you have a church meal put on, whether it's after soul winning, whether it's, you know, here, and you get adults or kids literally just stand there eating absolutely everything, standing by the biscuits, just going like that. Is that considerate to the rest of the church? It's not considerate to the rest of the church. Should it be my job to tell your child off? No. Should, if you go for a meal and the church has put it on, should you just be going, oh, get this, get, oh, go on, kids, you order for yourself. Oh, I'll get that. That's weird, yeah? Okay, look, we should be considering. Look, I'm not saying you have to get the cheapest thing on the menu, but look, just think about what your kids are able to have. Think about yourself as well. What, you know, you don't want to be seeing like half a plate left over, you know, £25 meals. Yeah, I'll go for the triple mixed grill, you know, and half it's left. Kids, you have one each as well. Yeah, that's just weird, okay? So we want to be considerate to each other, considerate when food comes. If someone's just standing there literally stuffing their face, yeah, which you do see sometimes, yeah, it's like there's not enough food for everyone. That's not really very courteous, is it? That's not courteous to each other. And kids need to be trained with that, don't they? Because kids seem to not have a stop button, do they? Not have a stop button. So we need to watch for that. Okay, another one. Leaving the places you found it. How about that? So, you know, you'd be amazed, like, you know, especially when we were downstairs, you'd be clearing up afterwards and everyone would get up and go and it looks like a bomb city. There's ripped up bulletins and things fold, you know, and all sorts of stuff and food and stuff under feet everywhere. Again, would you say that's courteous? Definitely not, is it? You wouldn't do that. I hope you wouldn't do that if you came around my house. You wouldn't do that if you went around someone else's house. So you're in the house of God, yeah? Yeah, we want to be courteous in the house of God, don't we? We want to make sure that we leave it as we found it. Same with the toilet as well. Yeah, you don't want to go in the toilet and it looks like someone's literally just had a hose pipe out in the men's toilet, but it's some sort of weird yellow water, you know? You don't want to see that, and I don't know what the women's toilet's like, but I'm sure sometimes that can be pretty bad, and we need to teach our kids that, don't we? Yeah, we need to teach our kids to be courteous to the next person coming to the toilet. Isn't it horrible when you go into a public toilet somewhere, you go in a toilet, you know, some restaurant, something else, and you literally can't even touch anything? And look, it's not just at church. We should all just be leaving something how we found it, shouldn't we? Because that's disgusting, isn't it? And then suddenly you're trying to clean a toilet, and you bring your kid in, and you, oh no, they're going to have to sit on this toilet, and you... Kind of, you spend 5 minutes, like you feel like you need to get the mask and gloves out, and it's disgusting, yeah? And it's not courteous, it's rude, and we want to make sure that we don't do that. Okay, a couple of other points, and I'm nearly done with this, so hopefully I've probably trodden on some toes at some point here. Respect of furniture as well. Okay, so just like, sometimes, again, kids need to be reminded not to be rocking on chairs. Chairs break, snap, they have to be paid for, don't they, yeah? Adults sometimes need to be reminded that as well, yeah? And just not, you know, and obviously kids with pens and things drawing over things like rocking chairs and, you know, brand new rocking chairs, which cost a fortune. Anyway, so... That's a bugbear. But yeah, we need to be making sure, don't we, that our kids are respectful of everything. And again, if we're respectful, they're more likely to be respectful. Rule following, okay? Again, it's just being courteous, isn't it? Yeah, if you walked into a house and the house, they said, please take your shoes off, you wouldn't go, yeah, whatever. I know they've invited me round, but, you know, I don't do what I'm told, yeah? We're the church or some nonsense like that. No, look, you come, you're a guest in the church, yeah? Okay, yeah, you might be part of the church, but you're still coming as a guest in this building. It's being put on for you. Please follow the rules, yeah? Follow all rules, because, look, otherwise... All you're going to do is a little leaven lifts the whole lump, yeah? And we're just going to end up with a problem where no one's doing anything like they're meant to be doing. So please, follow the rules and just think of each other, yeah? We should just be thinking of each other. That's what it's about, is it? Thinking of each other, and that's what it comes down to. Okay, so turn to Leviticus 19, because this goes for visitors too. And there's also respect, like I said, expected for the older members of a church, yeah? Okay, please remember this. Because this is something that we're losing from our society right now. Leviticus 19, and from verse 32. Leviticus 19, 32 says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Leviticus 19, verse 32. Hoary head is the grey head. And honour the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Okay, that's basically talk about rising up when you see someone older coming into a room. Yeah? Rising up for them. Okay, showing them respect, making a point of going up to them and shaking their hand. Oh, well, why should they? What have they done to deserve respect? Well, they put up with however many years on this planet, on this earth, yeah, for starters, yeah? Yeah, you probably do with a bit of respect. They got this far, yeah? They got as far as the grey head. Well, good on them, yeah? Let's show them some respect. We shouldn't just be... You know, talking down. Like you should be actually showing them more respect than you do to other people. That's what the Bible teaches here. Rise up before the hoary head and honour the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Okay?
And if you're not doing that, you should have a bit of fear for God, because he might chastise you about that, yeah? He might maybe make some old man come along and whack you with their walking stick or something else, or beat you down, and, you know, you would show a bit of disrespect. Some old man will just start beat you onto the floor and you look like a fool or something else. Okay, we want to make sure that we respect the elderly. He says in verse 33, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Okay, so obviously if it's some blatant reprobates and weirdos and Catholic ministers and stuff like that, I'm not saying we have to be respectful and polite to them, but visitors should be treated with the same courteousness that we treat each other. Okay, oh, well, don't think they're saved, you know. Don't know if I want to be near them. Look, we should be treating them with respect, shouldn't we? Treat them with respect, treat them courteously, okay? And then ideally, get them saved as well, okay? But they should be treated with respect. Now, all of that should be straightforward, yeah? Okay, but it's not just the obvious stuff either. If you go back to 1 Peter 3, it says in verse 8, "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Okay, verse 9. "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Okay, so not trying to get revenge, slandering each other, wanting each other. Instead, we should be wanting each other to be blessed. Now look at verse 10. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." Okay, so why? Because some people can seem very polite, yeah? Okay, it's not just about ticking the polite box, okay? The point in this, being courteous, is how your heart is towards other people as well. It's a consideration of other people, because people can be very polite, but they're polite with the passive-aggressive comments. They're polite with the loaded questions, with the subtle digs, okay? Look, it doesn't matter how many pleases and thank yous, and how you know how much you look someone in the eye, and you seem to be, look, you want to be making sure when you're in church that you're refraining your tongue from evil, that you're not speaking guile, you're not trying to be clever and try and catch people or try and say a little dig about this or that. When you talk to each other, it should just be straight down the line. It should just be compassionate, a love for each other, yeah? You don't have to turn to 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." It doesn't matter how good your manners are, yeah, the evil communications corrupt that. And obviously that's talking about false doctrine there as well. Okay, verse 11 says, "Let him eschew evil and do good." I came up with a third one there as well. I think before I had a raise of hands. Who wants a shoe and who wants a skew? And then I thought about an eschew. What about a stew? Who's going for a stew? Oh, we got one eschew. Okay, I'm going to go with eschew for a while. I like to be different. Okay, so let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Okay, so avoid evil, focus on doing good. Okay, seeking and following peace. Verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Okay, so we don't want the face of the Lord against us, do we? Yeah, I hope you don't want the face of the Lord against you. One good way of avoiding that is to focus on being courteous to his children. Yeah? Look, same with your kids. Yeah, I'm sure if someone was just rude to your children, just gave them a short shrift, ignored them, you know, just kept disrespecting them, do you think you'd be that happy with them? I'll tell you what, when one of your kids does that to another kid, it winds you up, doesn't it? Yeah. You're like, what are you doing? Yeah, talk to your sibling nicely. Yeah, so look, it doesn't matter, you are, well, I'm a child of God as well. Look, you're a child of God, yeah? Be polite, be respectful to the other children of God, yeah? Be courteous, because God tells you to be courteous. Okay, so the title is The Courteous Christian. Be courteous in your family life. Be courteous in your church life was number two. Number three, be courteous in your soul-winning life. Be courteous in your soul-winning life. Look at verse 13. "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Okay, so who is he that will harm you? Because he's not really harming you when you're doing good, right? Because Matthew 5, 11 to 12, you don't have to turn, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you," because you all have memorized this already, "and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And if you look at me thinking, why was he reading that? Well, you know, I didn't want to make any mistakes just in case, because we're doing a Bible memory challenge here. I don't want you guys to mess up on this, yeah? So, okay, that's why verse 14 here says, happy are ye. Okay, happy are ye, because you're blessed, aren't you? Okay, when people do persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what are you talking about, Brother Ian? Why on earth would people persecute you? If you're like the Vicar of Dibley type Christian, you're just a nice, you know, flower arranging, cup of tea and biscuit drinking Christian. Yeah, why on earth would someone revile you and persecute you? Well, because being a real Christian is saying the truth, isn't it? Being a real Christian is preaching the word of God from behind a pulpit, not standing here deciding how much I could tickle you is. Being a real Christian for all of you guys is going out and preaching the gospel to people. It's showing people how to get saved. It's telling them that the way they've been taught at their, you name it, church, Roman Catholic Church, Anglican Church, their whatever church you want to call it, their charismatic, so-called, you know, Baptist church, yeah, you name it, their Presbyterian church, their fill-in-the-blank religion, yeah, their way of working your way to heaven is a lie, it's false, and sadly people persecute you when you tell them the truth, when you tell them that the Bible says it's grace through faith, it's a gift, you have to receive that gift by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, yeah, that's it. And people hate you for it, don't they? They hate you for that, and then they'll find excuses to hate you for the other things of the Word of God. For preaching, for example, what we just preached about, that women should submit unto their own husbands. You absolute whatever, you fill in the blank. How dare you? Because that's what the world tells people to think. And because people don't like to think for themselves anymore, do they? They just like to think as they're told to think. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, and that's saying, what does God say? God says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Yeah, the Bible says so also for husbands to love their wives. Yeah, so that's not all a one-way street either. But, yeah, you get reviled, you get persecuted. They say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But we should rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is our reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So you're going to get extra rewards in heaven when you get persecuted. But that happens when you're out in the world, doesn't it? Okay, and you will get persecuted out in the world. If you're living right, if you're trying to live for the Lord, and we've had this recently with family members when we just, you know, yeah, we don't drink alcohol because drinking alcohol is a sin. Okay, the Bible's clear about that, not to even look upon fermented alcohol. Okay, so family members get angry about that, don't they? And they find reasons to try and slander and get annoyed with you. Yeah, because we dress normally. Because we haven't got into the latest, very latest, couple of decades in this country, few decades along, fashions of dressing our daughters like basic prostitutes, sorry to be crude, or boys, men dressing like the male version, basically, is what we see out there, that you will get some persecution for that, won't you? People get angry because basically you're shining the light on them. When you as a lady turn up, dressed as a lady, in a dress, you know, that's not showing half your nakedness and everything else, people hate it, don't they? People get angry. People find a reason to be annoyed with you. Okay, when you won't partake in their sin with them, they get angry, they persecute you. And when you're out in the world and you're soul winning, whether that's directly knocking doors or it's in your work, you know, in your non-church life, you're going to suffer some persecution as well. If you're doing things for God, all ye, that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're not suffering it, you haven't suffered it yet, unless you're very new to the faith, then it's probably because you're not living right. You're not living godly in Christ Jesus, okay? So, okay, we're going to suffer it. If you suffer for that, then be happy and don't fear. Okay, there's nothing to fear. Verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Meekness is a humility, a submission to God's will. Okay, we should be meek, shouldn't we? Yeah, we should be humble. There should be a humility about us. Shouldn't be all arrogant when we go to doors and like, you don't know how to get saved, you know, type thing, or scoffing. when people give a response to us. Yeah, we shouldn't be scoffing when people tell us what they think you have to do to get saved. Look, it's different. I'm not talking about when you're talking to a blatant false prophet, okay? Then it can be quite hard to control yourself. But when you talk to the unsaved, we want to be polite. We want to be courteous, okay? We should always be ready, though, shouldn't we? Always be ready. And that's everywhere in life. You should be ready, and you're going to learn that by going out soul winning. The more you're soul winning, the more you're out doing soul winning, the more you'll be ready to give an answer to people. Okay, right. So verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So, yeah, it's all good if it's for righteous sake, but not if it's because of your rudeness. If you're going out knocking on doors and you're being rude to people, you're talking to people in the street and you're being rude to them, and you're being a bit off, and you're being a bit bullyish, or you're being a little bit mocky, a little bit scornful, or something else to people, and you suffer, you're not suffering for righteousness' sake. You're suffering for your lack of courteousness. Yeah. Same in your work life, same in your whatever areas of your private life. If you're just being off with people, if you're not being courteous, and you're suffering for that, well, then you're not suffering for righteousness' sake. Because look, they want something to justify speaking evil of you, don't they? They're looking for anything. They'll grab you preach what the Bible says about sodomites now. I mean, how? Look, 56 years ago, that would have been ridiculous. No one would have even imagined that people would be criticising you for saying what a sodomite is, what the Bible says. But now, look at the sort of flack people are getting for just preaching what was just common knowledge across the world. And the number's been done on people, of course. The brainwash is strong, isn't it? Yeah, the conditioning by the media is strong. But the rest of it, they just want anything. So if it's not that, they'll grab some. You notice people do that. So, well, what do you think about gays? Well, you're trying to preach the gospel. So I'm trying to preach you the gospel. What's that got to do with anything? I'm trying to get you saved. And they do it with all sorts, don't they? Oh, what do you think about? And it's just because they want something. And I'll tell you what, if you turn up to someone's door and you're rude to them, You mock, you scorn, you're a bit off, you come out with, you know, you interrupt. Don't interrupt people, yeah? That's a good lesson. In fact, we're going to go through a few of these. Let's go through a few of these now. Because how does it look when we're out soul winning? Well, treat properties with respect. That's a good starter, yeah? Don't have your kids sitting on people's garden walls, swinging off their fences, you know, and the rest of it, because people want a reason, don't they? I mean, I had a guy just shouting and swearing at me just because I was talking to someone who happened to be parked kind of across what was an unused driveway full of rubble. You know, they want an excuse, don't they? They want any excuse. Oh, get your kid off. Oh, you know, I would have talked to you, but... You know, like they liked the COVID one, didn't they? COVID! You know, you're like 5 metres back, and it's like, what are you talking about? But look, they'll look for anything, won't they? They want an excuse. So don't give them an excuse. So treat the property with respect. Don't be running across their lawns, yeah? Don't be doing all of that sort of stuff. Kids, you have to be careful with this as well. Kids are a great help when you're soul winning, aren't they? But you've got to make sure kids don't become a hindrance as well, because you are a great help. I mean, for me, I think a lot, so many of my salvations, I think, have even been possible because I've had my children with me. And it just softens people. People are they're a lot happier to talk to you a lot of the time, aren't they? Yeah. Okay, so look, kids are great, but kids, just be careful you don't give them a reason to be annoyed with you. Okay, manners when we speak to people. Okay, that includes the please and the thank yous and the respect to elders, yeah? Should be giving respect to elders. We should be just respectful to people in general. We should be courteous. We should be making sure that we're using all the manners that you know and be polite to people, right? Don't interrupt them, okay? Don't interrupt them and don't tell people off when they interrupt you, okay? You're trying to be a shining light. You're an ambassador for Christ. Let me finish. You know, that's rude, yeah? Okay, make sure that you're being courteous, you're being polite to people. don't mock, obviously. Don't mock them when they say some, you know, they give a response. So what do you think you've got to do to go to heaven? Well, like, you know, really? You know that. Don't do that, yeah? Okay, make sure that you're just polite, you're respectful. Okay. And be polite when it's time to move on as well, yeah? Look, you don't know, look, especially when we're knocking local here, but it doesn't really matter anyway, because we're hoping there's going to be more and more church, more and more people knocking. They have a chance to go and listen to the gospel further down the line, because we're leaving them a video which clearly shows the gospel from the Word of God, okay? And they might look at that. If when they say, oh, well, look, I've got to rush, you start getting annoyed or mocking and... yeah, good luck, you know, see, yeah, well, so, I won't see you, but someone's going to see you in hell or something like that. Look, you know, anything like that is just weird. That's not going to help, is it? You want them, you want to be polite. Even when someone's rude to you, just be polite to them, yeah? Unless they're obviously just some fool. Even then, just you might as well be polite, because all you're going to do is end up with them probably following you down the road, carrying on and on your case. Just try and be polite and move on. Hold your head high, right? Be compassionate as well. How about that? You're preaching the gospel to someone. Someone says, well, I just lost whoever recently. Yeah, well, anyway, let me finish, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, don't do that. Yeah, obviously, be compassionate. If someone needs to talk to you a bit about they've just lost someone, look, even if it hijacked the whole gospel presentation, that person just went away going, well, at least that Christian wanted to talk to me about the loss in my life. Look, that's worth it, isn't it? Yeah, you've got to have some compassion for things people have been through as well. In Jude, in verse 22, 23, again, yeah, I'll turn there, everyone knows these verses. It says, and of some have compassion, make a difference. Yeah, we should have compassion, shouldn't we, yeah? Make a difference, and that can make a difference. Someone might go away and think back at that and go, no, that person had compassion. Most people just palm it off, because a lot of people, I don't know if you notice, when you lose someone, when you go, because there's so many narcissists in life, they cannot deal with you talking about anything that's ever happened in your life. You ever notice that? You're like, you'll talk about something, talk about losing someone, and they just cannot cope, cannot deal with it. Conversation has to come back to them, or has to go on to something else. Well, look, we want to show, no, we're Christians, yeah, we do have compassion, don't we? Yeah, we have compassion. Some have compassion, make a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Okay, some need to be saved with fear, but that can still be done courteously, doesn't it? That doesn't have to be fire and brimstone, screaming, preaching on the doorstep, yeah? Okay, look, yeah, they need to know about hell. They need to know that the wages of sin is death. They need to know that one sin is taking them to hell, and they do a lot more than one sin. But you can still do that courteously, can't you? Yeah? Okay, so, and obviously that applies to those in our personal life too. So turn to Colossians 4. We're nearly done now. Where Paul is finishing his letter to the Colossian church with these instructions. So Colossians chapter 4, we're going to look from verse 2. Colossians 4, 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So he's saying, be wise, yeah, make best use of the time, yeah. Amen. Yeah, we need to walk in wisdom to them that are without, okay. And look, some people, and of some have compassion, make a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Look, there's different ways of different people, aren't there? Okay, we want to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time, making best use of the time that you're with someone as well. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Right, grace is favour, goodwill, kindness. Okay, our speech should be with goodwill and kindness towards people, yeah? Seasoned with salt. Salt is for preservation. And what's it talking about here? I think the words of eternal life. Okay, that's what I believe. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Look, if our speech is ready, if we're always ready to preach to people, if our speech is always with grace but seasoned with salt, those eternal words that are ready to save people, well, look, that's the best way to be, isn't it? Yeah? We should always be ready, shouldn't we, to give an answer of them that asketh of the hope that lieth within us or something. I hope I didn't butcher that, but look, we should be ready, shouldn't we? We should be ready to preach the gospel to people. We should make sure that we have those words ready. And when we talk to people, we want to be trying to show them how to get saved. But we need to redeem the time. We need to walk in wisdom. We need to do that in a wise way. Okay, so the title was The Courteous Christian. Number one is be courteous in your family life. And that's going to knock on to your kids, isn't it? Okay, and if you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't have kids and my kids are older or whatever else, you know, well, look, we should still be courteous to each other anyway. Yeah, you're courteous at home, you're more likely to be courteous when you're out and about. And again, it's the command of God, be courteous, yeah? And if he's saying to each other, well, and he's talking about to members of the church, well, who's more of a brother or sister of Christ than husbands and wives or family members, yeah? And that includes siblings, kids as well. Be courteous to your siblings, yeah? When you grow up, you're going to end up, you know, you're going to end up having a lot more in common with your siblings than with most people, okay? Don't ruin that relationship when you're young, yeah? Make sure that you're courteous to each other, that you're polite, that you're loving to each other, be compassionate to each other. Be courteous in your family life, be courteous in your church life, yeah? Be courteous. When you're here, look, that stuff, and I know some of that stuff's going to be hard for some people, okay? So, bits of that are going to be more difficult for some than others. But look, I think they're pretty obvious stuff. I don't think any of that was pretty outlandish, was it? Any of that was like, oh, you know, what on earth, Brother Ian? I've got to actually like come in and say hello to people in a church? What sort of a crazed, you know, cult is this? Well, look, we're just a Bible-believing church that just believe that when God says be courteous, we should be courteous, yeah? Okay, be courteous in your church life and be courteous in your soul-winning life, yeah? We want to do the best we possibly can when we're preaching the gospel to people, and that includes with those in our personal life as well. Okay, on that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for you know your instruction in the Bible, for how you make things so clear and how you help us to live, because we, you know, without the word of God, well, we would all be pretty wayward. And we thank you that you give us the word of God, that you give us the ability to hear it preached, and we have this church to be able to hear it. But help us with having this church to put into practice what we hear preached, and not only in this church but in our home life, out when we're out, you know, trying to help people to receive that gift of eternal life. And Lord, I pray that you help us this afternoon with that. Help us to go out and just you know, be courteous when we're out on those streets preaching to people. Help us to get people saved, and help us to all return here for this evening service. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen.